I've got quite a few announcements for you, so you may need a pen or pencil. Get ready. Get ready to listen. It's that time of year again. It's finally here. We held off on the cold weather for as long as possible, but it is snowy. And in case in the next couple months, if there's a snow emergency on a Sunday, you say, boy, it sure looks like the roads are messy, you can check the website. There will be a message posted on the website by 7 a.m., and that will state if they're stating that there will be no fellowship. If there's no message, you're welcome to come. So, but remember to check that if it's super snowy, and, you know, walk in love and walk by the Spirit if you think that maybe somebody wouldn't be checking the website. You can check in with them, or if you don't think that they've heard this message, just look out for people. Also on the website, there is a new Scripturally Speaking article. In case you don't know, some of the saints in our church put together an article on, it's up there on the website. It helps spur your spiritual study. So there's one out, it's called The Most Elaborate and Successful Hoax Ever Perpetuated. So if that interests you, I encourage you to check it out. I read it last night, and I'll leave you hanging on a cliffhanger with that one. But it is a really a wonderful way. You know, sometimes these articles, what they do is they just take things that have we've been learning in our small groups or here at, on a Sunday morning, and they just really put it in a concise, written out way to help consolidate things in your mind. So I encourage you to check that out on the website. There is also on the website a Children's Fellowship newsletter now available. I know that many of you pray for what's going on in our children's groups. Many of you are parents. Many of you are grandparents or are involved in some way or just in your prayer for the kids. This has their objectives, topics of instruction, upcoming events in Children's Fellowship, and you will be able to find it on the main menu of the website under the resources. Or you can pick up a printed copy in the lobby on the credenza if you're not a 21st century kind of person. However, speaking of the website again, we have one more announcement for our website. Every year, we add about 20 teachings to the recommended teachings tab. So if you're looking for something to study or listen and you have no clue, somebody has recommended 20 more teachings for you to check out. And that would be teachings that we have done here at the Study Center through camps, seminars, such in the past. So, alrighty, that's it for the website. Leaders, we have a meeting here at the Study Center at 7:30. There is an Elder Women's Fellowship this Friday, the 19th at 2 p.m. I believe you know where that is, but it is here. Is that correct? Okay. And if anybody else needs to contact, is it Jackie that they contact if anybody else is interested in that? Okay. Elder women. And for our men, there's a men prayer breakfast next Saturday, the 20th at 9 a.m. Oh, I called it. I did it again. It's not a breakfast. Avis is correcting me back there. Just kind of falls off the tongue. It is a men's prayer meeting. So please have already eaten by the time you get here. You can come for the saints and the prayer, but not for the breakfast anymore. But they look forward to seeing you there at 9 a.m. next Saturday. So with that, we are going to sing number 28, Glory to His Name. And Josh has one more announcement.
Sorry, it should have gone. I forgot to submit it. But I have an announcement for next week. So we know what the children are doing through the Children's Fellowship newsletter now over the next couple of months. I'm excited to let you know that for in this fellowship, on Sunday mornings, we're going to be in 2024 doing a New Testament overview series. So some of you may have remembered a number of years ago, we did a Old Testament overview series, and it was really a blessing for our church. And the goal of it is to give us each a sense of the overall scope, the overall message of each New Testament book, so that when we go back and study the details, when we go and look into maybe our favorite verse and realize, oh, what's the context here? What's the overall message of each of these books of the Bible. And so we're going to be doing that starting next week. And the reason I wanted to let you know this week is so you could be preparing if you'd like to be reading ahead. We're going to be starting the first group of teachings next week on the four Gospels. So we'll be, you want to be reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The next four Sundays starting next week, we'll be handling those in an overview fashion, not every verse by verse. That would take more than 4 weeks. But we'll be giving you a sense of the overall scope of each of those four books. And then we'll take a break and on Sunday mornings, and then we'll let you know when we'll be starting up with Acts and the other New Testament books. So you have that to look forward to this year, and we're excited to do something in some of these sections that we've been preparing for over a year now, and we're excited to be able to do that on Sunday mornings. So thanks for letting me add an extra announcement.
Thanks, Josh. That's great information to be able to prepare, so thank you. Thanks for adding it in. Okay, I have not turned to my number. We are going to sing number 28. Glory to his name, number 28.
I am so wondrously saved by grace. Jesus did all of my guilty race. There on the cross where he took my place. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There on the cross where he took my place.
Thank you, Eric. I want to thank Tom for giving me the privilege of standing before you this morning and sharing God's word with you. I was sitting back there thinking what a joy it is to be able to share the scriptures with brothers and sisters in Christ who love God. We all love God. We love his word, and it's so much fun. So first, I would like to open with prayer, and then we'll get into God's word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the grace and mercy that you've shown towards us. God, I thank you for your word and the word that will be shared this morning, that you will open the heart, or the eyes of our understanding and our hearts, Father, that your scriptures will come alive and that fruit may abound. I thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Recently, Tom shared that when he first became a Christian, he thought that everything would be fine, that there would be no problems, everything would be perfect. And I was listening to the teaching and I laughed because I also thought that when I first became a Christian, and I probably even told people, you know, when you're a Christian, everything is sunshine and roses, no problems. Well, it didn't take long for me to realize that that was not the case. However, God has given us so much in Christ and in his word that we can stand in the midst of trials and tribulations and to do so joyfully. And that's what I wanted to look at this morning. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 16. Most of the time, I'll be referring and reading from the NIV version. This one I'm going to, if it makes more sense to me and it's easier to understand, I'll use the King James. But so, in Psalm 16, David wrote, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, or the grave, neither wilt thou suffer or allow thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. He said, in God's presence there is fullness of joy. And in Acts, you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 2, verse 22 and following, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the 11, and he began to teach them about Jesus of Nazareth. And right before he quoted the section of scripture that we just read, he said that it was concerning Jesus Christ. So David quoted it, and then Peter quoted it concerning Jesus Christ. And I just thought, that's a great example of us placing the Lord always before our face, that we can be in the presence of God. And we know that we are in the presence of God, that spiritually that we identify with Christ. We've been raised together with him. We're seated with him in the heavenlies, right? And we can become more in God's presence up here, you know, and in here. And I'll show you from the scriptures some things that we can learn about that. Okay? Please turn to Psalm 21. And we will start in verse 1, and this will be in the NIV, okay? The king rejoices in your strength. And as I'm reading this, I want you to notice how many times the word you or your is used, okay? The king rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories that you give. You have granted him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. You came to greet him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. Through the victories that you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. And, you know, he looked to God as his source of blessings, victory, length of days, unending blessings, and joy. It says that he made him glad with the joy of God's presence. Please turn to Psalm 28. We're going to read a few different verses in Psalm this morning. And in verse 6, says, blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication, my prayers. He was confident that God heard his prayers when he prayed, right? The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. David went before the Lord with his prayers, and he was helped, and his heart greatly rejoiced. And that reminded me of a verse in Hebrews that is addressed to us, or to the Hebrews, but it applies to us. And that's in Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 16. Okay, and in verse 16 in the NIV says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are always welcome before the throne of God. God loves us. We're his children. And this is something that God wants us to do, is to come boldly before that throne of grace. And we can come to God with our prayers, with our sorrows, with our griefs, with our joys, and he's always there to listen. And we can develop that personal relationship with God. You know, and when we start to do that, we'll start to trust God because we'll see that he's faithful. The more we do it, the more we see his faithfulness, and that will bring great joy to our hearts when we see his deliverance, when we see his answers, when we realize that he's a personal father like no other, right? Turn back to Psalm. I'm sorry you're doing a lot of flipping today, but there's just so many great verses on this. And in Psalm chapter 5, says in verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Right? We can rejoice when we put our trust in God. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Notice it says in thee. We're joyful in God. You know, we don't have the strength or the ability, but God does. And he's a strong God. He's a mighty God. He's a God that we can come to with all of our hearts and pour our hearts out to him. And he listens and he cares. And there's so many people in the world that don't know that. They think that God's vengeful, you know, that he is a God of wrath. And people will say, well, I don't know if God hears my prayers. They don't know that. But we know from the scriptures that he does. And what a comfort and what a joy that is to our hearts, right? In Philippians 4:4, you don't have to turn there. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We can always rejoice in him. When we're sad, when things aren't going right, we know that he's there. He never leaves us alone. And preparing for this teaching, you know, that was a great comfort to me and a great joy, knowing that he was with me and that he was helping me and that he loved me. All right, please turn over to Psalm chapter 90. There's some great verses. This is just a few of them. You know, I could be here all morning just reading all these wonderful verses. But in Psalm 90 and in verse 14 says, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, God's unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. So it doesn't matter if we live to be 100 or 90 or 50, you know, we can be joyful all our days. There's not a day that goes by that we can't have that joy from God and know that he is a faithful God to us. If you look in chapter 30 of Psalm, I love this. This is one of my favorite verses, I guess, if you could have a favorite. They all are, but in verse 11 in chapter 30 says, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. This is great because, you know, in the Old Testament, why did they wear sackcloth? It was because they were upset. They were grieving. There was something really bad that happened, and so they wore sackcloth. But it says that God will remove our sackcloth and clothe us with joy. That's the kind of Father that we have. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of trials and tribulations. I love that some of us sang about that this morning. Because we will have trials and tribulations in life. But God can remove that sackcloth and clothe us with joy. What a wonderful Father that we have. You know, the events and activities of this world can bring us happiness from time to time, right? I mean, joy, happiness, same thing. Having a new baby, what a joy. A new relationship, a marriage, a new job, whatever it is, it brings you joy. But those things are temporary, you know? They're not eternal. God is eternal. And that's why he's the one thing that's always certain, His unending, unfailing love is always, you know, so we can always depend on him. We can't depend on the things that go on in this world, but we can always depend on him. He's unchanging. Please turn to Psalm 94. And in verse 18, it says, when I said my foot is my foot does fall asleep sometimes, but no. When I said my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation, your comfort brought me joy. Have you ever been filled with great anxiety? You know, there's times that that happens. You know, we're unsure of our situation. We're uncertain about a future event. You know, we have this anxiety. But it says here, when anxiety was great within me, God's comfort brought me joy. And, you know, we need to spend time in God's presence to experience that kind of joy. It's something that sometimes I've put on the back burner, you know, prayed when I needed something or prayed when I was afraid or pray, you know, but we need to come before God's presence and pour out our hearts before him. We need that time and we need to do it consistently. We need to do it daily. Is there anything more important? Really? Sometimes we think there is, right? We think, well, I've got to do this and this and this and this. And especially as a mom, I remember having children and it just seemed like there were so many things to do. But really, to be the best parent, to be the best human being as a Christian, we need to do this on a consistent and daily basis. It's so important. God will bring us the answers we need, the comfort we need, and the joy that will sustain us in this life. Well, God has given us another source of joy, and we're going to look at that as well. Please turn to Psalm chapter 19. And in verse 7, God says, the word says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant or clear, giving light to the eyes. So look at how many ways that the word of God is described here. The law is perfect, statutes are trustworthy, precepts are right, and commands are radiant. All those things are referring to God's word. And God's word provides all of those things, and one of them is to bring joy to our heart. In Psalm 119, there's a lot of verses in Psalm 119, a lot of great verses. And 119 verse 111 says, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. God's word was the joy of his heart. In verse 143 of Psalm 119, says, trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. You know, we do have trouble and distress in this world, right? And oftentimes we turn to worldly things to ease the stress, to ease the pressure, whether it be vegging out in front of the TV, you know, reaching for a bottle of alcohol, reading a book, anything that we do in the senses realm to ease that pain will not bring the joy to our heart that the scriptures will. So the best suggestion is when you're full of turmoil and trouble and things are confused, the best thing to do is to turn to God's Word and let God's Word, that perfect Word, bring that joy, that peace, and that comfort to our hearts. Right? Here's a familiar verse in Jeremiah, if you want to turn there, chapter 15. This is a great verse. Jeremiah realized something. He said in verse 16, when your words came, I ate them. They were the joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. The figure of speech ate is an interesting one, right? We know that he didn't pick up the scrolls and start chewing on them or anything like that. But why do we eat physical food? We eat because we're hungry. We need nourishment, right? And most of us probably eat on a fairly regular basis, right? Three times a day, twice a day. So it's a great figure of speech when you think about eating God's Word. We eat, so to speak, figuratively God's Word for nourishment, for strength, to bring peace and joy. But we also do it on a consistent basis, right? It's not something that we just, I just think I'll taste that little bit of food that you made, or we'll sample it. No, he ate it. He devoured it. That's how we want to approach God's Word. Not just, I know sometimes we don't have loads of time every day, but carve out that amount of time. You know, it doesn't take that much time, but it refreshes our soul. It brings us joy. It brings us the answers to everyday life. You know, those of you who go to school still, you know, you guys are teenagers today are surrounded by so many influences and so much technology and everything coming to your brain. And actually we are too. You know, slowly but surely we've gotten into this computer age where we're bombarded with so much information that we really, really need to carve out that time in our lives that we are refreshing our soul daily. We need that encouragement. We need that refreshing, right? Please turn to Psalm 1. This is also a familiar verses. In verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Sometimes when you think about meditating, you think about, you know, somebody that's sitting cross-legged on a mountain somewhere, meditating, right? But meditating really just means to speak to oneself, to consider, to think about. It says that he did that day and night. You know, he wasn't sitting in his room maybe reading physically God's Word, but he was speaking those words to himself. He was considering those words. He was thinking about them day and night. And it's something that we don't want to do sporadically. We can do it throughout our day. When we're driving our car, when we're sitting at work, anywhere, you can bring to mind those scriptures that you know and you can speak them to yourself and think about them. In Psalm 119 again, we're going to go back to Psalm 119. And in verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, to hide God's word in your heart, it's going to take a little more than a few seconds every day. You know, it's going to take time of meditating on God's word, putting it in our minds and in our hearts. We're hiding that word in our hearts so that we don't sin against God. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. If you're having trouble understanding the scriptures, God will teach you. He will. He says, God, teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Again, he's recounting by his lips all the laws that comes from God's mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Wow, that's a lot of rejoicing, right? I meditate on your precepts, and I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I want to be able to say that of myself. I will not neglect your word. When you think about the word neglect, I don't know, any of you have dogs or an animal, a pet of some kind? If you neglected your dog, I'm not going to feed him. I'm not going to give him water. I'm not going to take care of him anymore. I'm just going to forget about him. That's neglect, right? And we can do the same thing with God's word. We can put it on a shelf. We have good intentions, maybe. I'm really going to get in and read that word. But we don't want to neglect it. And we can neglect it in several ways. One, we don't open it and pick it up and actually read it, right? But once we do have it in our minds and in our hearts, we can neglect it. We can push it aside, and we can look to our own ways, right? But we don't want to. We want to always think about those scriptures that God has given us. Don't neglect it. Bring it to the forefront of your mind. Meditate on it. And that's what's going to give us strength. It's going to give us peace. It's going to refresh our souls. And it's going to bring great joy to our hearts. In we're still in Psalm 119, but in verse 160, turn there, please. Aren't these great verses, really? And in verse 160, it says, Thy word is true from the beginning. The beginning, wow. It's always been true, right? It's never not been true. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So is God's word ever going to fail? Are his promises ever going to fail? Does God ever lie? Has he ever lied? No. He has always told us the truth. Can you say that about anyone else? Even your parents or your most trusted confidant, your spouse, we can't say that, you know. But God, he has always been faithful. He has never lied to us. And so we can stake our lives on these words. I know people in the world think we're crazy. Wow, you read that old book, that old thing? That went out, you know, centuries ago. No, God's word has been from the beginning faithful, and it will be until the end. Will be faithful. It's something that we can depend on, we can trust in with our whole heart. And it says, Princes have persecuted me in 161 without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word. You know what that means, to stand in awe of something? We realize that God's word is greater than we are, that God is greater than we are. We are in awe of him and the things that he says to us above everything else in this world. So do we need to be afraid, really? I know that there's times when we experience fear. That's a human emotion, right? But when we esteem God's word, excuse me, and we put it up where God does, and we're in awe of it, and we reverence it, that's where I want to be, because I know that my life, like it talks about in Proverbs, that will be like a tree planted by rivers of living water, you know, that everything that we do will prosper because we put God in such esteem and his word in such esteem. And then verse 162 says, I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil or great treasure. You know, I'd be pretty happy if I found a great treasure. You know, you open up a treasure chest and there's rubies and diamonds and gold and all that stuff. Or if somebody handed me a check for $1 million, that'd be pretty great. Yeah, I might be a little joyful at that, right? Well, that's the kind of joy. That's the kind of awe and reverence that God wants us to have towards his word. That when we come to it, we recognize it for what it is. And we rejoice, right? Oh man, I can understand God's word. What a blessing. You know, that we have Bibles. Not everywhere in the world has Bibles. You know, at any time, what a privilege that we are. That we have this written word that we can open at any time of the day, and we can be in awe of it, and we can realize the great benefit to our lives. There's something else that I wanted to share with you. So being in the presence of God brings joy, right? And also God's word brings joy and delight to our hearts. But there's one thing, and some of us sang about it this morning, and Randy Mellon prayed about it this morning, and I was so blessed because I was like, yeah, that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit, is the hope that we have and how that brings joy. And so I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 25. And in verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. Isaiah 25, verse 9? Okay. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And another verse that talks about this is in Psalm 94. Okay? And in verse 18. Whoops. Sorry. Wrong page. Psalm 13. Thank you. In Psalm 13, and in verse 5, says, but I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. You know, we have salvation because of what our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished, right? And that encompasses many, many blessings and things. We know that we have, once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, and we believe that God raised him from the dead, we have eternal life, we're righteous, we're sanctified, we have access into his grace and mercy, we're part of a body. There's so many things, right? But part of our salvation has not been completed yet. We have a future to look forward to. And the word talks about that, and it talks about how that can bring joy to our hearts. Please turn to Romans chapter 15. And in verse 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I've read this verse, you know, many times, but the thing that really blessed me was going back and reading it in the context and seeing exactly what this is talking about. So I'd like to do that. So we're going to start back in verse 8, okay? It says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. The circumcision were the Jews, right? So Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, the Jews, for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And we know that one of the fathers was Abraham, right? And there was a promise made to Abraham that of his seed would be coming a redeemer, right? So that was something that he looked forward to. But then it says in verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people, Israel. He's encouraging the Gentiles to rejoice as well, because the Gentiles were not God's people, right? And they were not part of the promises of God that were made in Abraham at that time. But he's saying Gentiles, and most of us probably would fit into that category before we were born again, right? That we can rejoice now too. Why? It says, I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people Israel. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope, this is the verse that we started with, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing what? In that root of Jesse, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Gentiles could rejoice now, and that we could abound in hope, that we have a hope now, not just the children of Israel, but all people on the earth now, both Jew and Gentile, can share in a hope, right? And it says, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not hoping, as we know, like, oh, I hope I get a new bike for Christmas, you know. This hope is based on the promises of God. And like we just learned, God's promises are faithful from the beginning, right? So that is something that we can place our hope in, you know. It's a future, but it's promised to you and I. Please turn to Romans chapter 5. And in verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We boast in that hope of the glory of God because now we stand in that grace of God. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 3, says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a living hope. Is Jesus Christ alive? Yes. We just learned. Maybe we already knew it. That God raised him from the dead, right? So our hope isn't based on something that's not living. Jesus Christ is alive. So we know that we have something to look forward to. And it says here, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Wow. Is that better than finding a treasure chest with gold and silver, or a check for $1 million? Yeah, we have an inheritance. Have we received it yet? No. This is future. But it says that it will never perish. So it's always going to be there for us. It won't spoil. It won't rot. It won't fade away. And it says, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, for me. It's there. It's not going anywhere. It's kept, right? And it says, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Wow. We're shielded by God's power. Until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. It's going to happen. It could be 5 minutes from now. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be 1,000 years. But it is going to happen. God said it, and that's it. That's something that is going. We have this inheritance. It's there. It's not going to fade. It's not going to rot. It's not going anywhere. God has that reserved in heaven for us. In all of this, verse 6 says, you greatly rejoice. Yeah. Right? We greatly rejoice in that because we know, you know, no matter how things get, because it says, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, right? You know, your trials are different than mine. You know, some of you have lost a spouse or a child or had maybe lost a home, you know, other things. Our trials are all different. But it doesn't matter because it says that we can greatly rejoice even though we've had that the proof of grief in all kinds of trials. In verse 7, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through though refined by fire, but that genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The world might think we're crazy, but I'll tell you what, there's a day coming when we're going to receive glory and honor from the Lord Jesus Christ for our faith, for our trust, for our believing in God. And I don't care if the world thinks I'm crazy. Let them think I'm crazy because I know what I have laid up in store for me. In verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. You know, we have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ with our eyes physically. Some did, right? But we haven't. But we still love him because we believe that what he accomplished, he did. And so we love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You think you can stand through some trials in life when you realize that? You know, this world is temporary. It's short. It's not, I mean, if you live to be 100, that's not long. When you think about all eternity, that's not long. You know, we may suffer for a while or have a trial that we endure for a while, but that's small compared to God, right? And then verse 9 says, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's why we can have an inexpressible and glorious joy, because we are receiving the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. It's so worth it. It's so worth it. This is our living hope, and we look forward to it. And that hope is what sustains us when we get weary and faint in our minds. You know, we remember from God's word who we are and what God has made us to be and what we can look forward to in the future. That is what sustains us. There isn't anything else. There's not anything in this world that you can turn to that's going to sustain you. It's not. It might for a minute, it might for an hour, but it's not going to sustain you through your entire life, like this hope that we have. Turn to 1 Peter, and in verse 4, chapter 4, I mean, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though some strange thing were happening to you. And we know it's not a test like, oh, stick your hand in the fire and see if you don't get burned. You know, it's not that kind of a test. It's a proving, you know. We prove God's word every time we trust him and we believe him and we see it come to pass. You know, it's a proving of our faith. We prove it. We prove it to ourselves. We prove it to one another. And, you know, there's nothing more satisfying than in our fellowship we have a prayer group. And when we get together and we say, yeah, that prayer was answered. God took care of that. You know, we see the victories in our life. That's satisfying, you know. But verse 13 says, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Right? We're going to be overjoyed. You know, we're not going to be crying. He's going to wipe away all those tears from our eyes. We're going to be filled with joy at that when we see his face and we come to him face to face. I look forward to that. And like I said, it could be 5 minutes from now, 100 years, but it's coming. God guarantees that, right? We have just a couple more verses to consider here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just look at that real quick. God's word is just so enjoyable. In verse 16, chapter 4, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. I love that. Oh, I can testify to that. I can't do what I did when I was 20. You know, I'm wasting away, but that doesn't bother me. You know why? Because inwardly I have a spirit. And that spirit doesn't get old, and that spirit doesn't waste away. And I'm promised a new body someday. And so are you, right? So, yeah, we're wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, we don't look at those temporary trials and tribulations, what we see with our eyes, right? Those things, it says, are light and temporary in comparison to that weight of glory that far outweighs anything that we endure in this life. And even Jesus, you know, Jesus had a hope as well. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, where we'll close this morning. And I just want to look at him. In verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, Jesus was not joyful because of what he faced. He knew from the Old Testament, my gosh, you read Isaiah, he was marred more than any other human being, so much so that you couldn't recognize him as a man. He knew that. And he faced that with joy because he knew and his hope was what he would accomplish on the cross for you and me. And that's what sustained him, to know that God's promise was true, that God was going to raise him from the dead. He was not going to be left in the grave. And that same joy sustained him through whatever trials he faced before he gave up his life. And I think it's great that it says to consider him. Think about him. You know, I doubt that any of us will ever have to endure what he did. I know that we'll never have to give our lives to make anybody righteous. So we need to, out of the three things that we covered today that bring us joy, being in the presence of God, God's word, and thinking about the hope that we have of what's coming will bring us joy that will sustain us in this life. So thank you.